Beautiful playing, Mesquite. Beautiful playing. Thank God for all the musicians we have here at Mount Calvary. Warm enough? Yes, good. Real quickly, tomorrow night, the choir is going to be here about 7. I think somebody's beforehand, and so hopefully you know who you are. I don't know if it's me or not. This Wednesday night, once again, the choir will be getting ready for the cantata, and look forward to it. Folks, let folks know. Come bring folks on in. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to start off this beautiful Christmas season here by coming out and enjoying some of God's music out there. I don't see, have I missed any other announcements, birthdays? Any? You always have something, Hattie. What you got this time? Okay. Amen. And what's the dates on that, just real quickly?
December the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Good, good. Come over there.
The
10th.
Yeah. The 10th.
Their cantata is December the 8th and 9th. It is rumored on the 10th, they'll have a power outage at Calvary Road, so make sure you don't go over there. You'll freeze to death. You'll freeze to death over there. Looking forward to it, folks. What a joy to be here. And also, I just want to mention real quickly that Christmas cards exchange will be coming up on the 17th there later in the month. So come on out and do that. I am sharing with my notes for just a few moments. I've opened up my little booklet. This is a very, very expensive little spiral notebook. It's what I use to write my notes in. I'm at the last page. Somebody ought to say amen. This is Christmas green. And in looking in through this little booklet, I move as fast on my notes as we do through the purpose-driven life. This is like 2 years worth here, and you go back and you look at little things and notes you put in, and it brings a joy to my heart to kind of reflect back. During this time of year, I think it's a great time for you as an individual to reflect back on what God has done for us. I think it's a perfect time to remember those that have been so kind to us during the year. And I know that it's also a very challenging time of year because, as we'll do this afternoon at about 4 o'clock, Terry and I are leading them. A little memorial service they do over at the Elks Lodge for those members that have passed away during the year, and they invite the families, and I'm so glad they do that. But I also know that it's a challenge because I'll be sharing with folks, and you know, this will be the first Christmas that they'll spend without that loved one. So it's always a challenge. I also know that with the events of the previous year, things have gone on, that sometimes, I know if you're like I am, you've kind of walked around sometime this year, especially when you listen to news and stuff, just scratching your head. I've been scratching my head, and my head don't even itch. But I tell you, for some reason, I've just been scratching my head. I know just this past week, as we were talking at work, and about all the news, and every day seemed like a new headline would come out, and an individual who, fallen from grace, I guess that's the easiest way to say it. And I just wanted to, for just a couple moments this morning, I heard one of the interviews or one of the statements that made after some of the events this week, and I know all of you have heard different things and you have different opinions and it's affected you in different ways. But this individual made a statement out that they were They were ashamed of what they'd done. So today, for just a moment, I'm going to read you one verse. It's Romans, first chapter, verse 16. And that reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Wow. This verse reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek." That's simply because it was presented to the Jew first and then to everyone else. And I especially like this New Living Translation because it says, "I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work." It is the power of God at work. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. For just a moment, God, allow us to focus upon the truth that you have for us as individuals. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. It's the truth. I like simple things. I read about there's a park out in California where some people are moving away from and coming to far better states. There's a park in California, and in this park there's a big rock hanging on a rope. And there's a big old sign next to it that says, "This is the weather station." And big letters it says, "Check the rock. If it's wet, it's rain. If the rock is moving, it's windy. If you can't see the rock, it is foggy. And if the rock is gone, there was a tornado." That's the truth. You know, we as individuals hear the news. We hear things that just, wow, on the inside that kind of start to gnaw at us. And we hear people who are trying to make apologies. And I'm not here to judge anyone, and I hope you don't. But I'm here to tell you one thing. I may be ashamed of many things that I've done in my life. I may be ashamed of certain things and that I did not do the right thing. But I'm here to tell you today that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is the rock that will stand when all others begin to falter. It seems that today during the prayer request time, we heard need about a family who'd suffered a loss. Trust me, this is a difficult time, especially for those that have suffered losses. And I read that there was a woman who had lost her battle with cancer. And her brother, Dr. Earl Wolf, he made the trip from Missouri all the way to Pennsylvania for her funeral. But while he was there, he spent all the time looking through papers, and he opened up her Bible. And inside her Bible, he found a handwritten poem that was there, and I want to share it with you. It says, "Often on the rock I tremble, faint of heart, and weak of knee. But the steadfast rock of ages never trembles under me." I'm here to tell you that we've just heard little bits and pieces of things, and there's going to be a lot more stuff that comes out. There are going to be people that are going to be standing up in front of you, and they're going to be saying, "I'm sorry," and there are going to be conflicts, and there are going to be he said, she said. There are going to be all those other kind of things. But I'm here to tell you, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that gospel, that truth, never wavers. We've all been in that situation of making mistakes. We've all been in a situation we have doubted, we have doubted, we have doubted. But I'm here to tell you, God loves you. One of the hardest concepts, I believe, for anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is to try to understand this thing called unconditional love. There is nothing you can do today that is going to make God love you anymore. There is nothing you can do today that's going to make God love you any less. God's love is unconditional. I have a hard time with that. That doesn't compute with me because I know that I've tried many times in my life to have people love me. So many times when I was young, I would try to find the approval of my own father. He was a roofer. I was a roofer with accident. He was an outdoorsman, loved. And I truly had that same love that he had. But I've known it so many times that I would try and try. And so many times in my mind and in my heart, I feel that I would come up short to his expectations. He was a pretty tough fella. Amen? Oh, Rick knew. And it's kind of difficult for me because we in our minds and in our lives, we always are figuring that people are going to love us according to how we treat them. It doesn't make sense that God would send a son to die upon a cross. He would love you when you were yet unlovable, and that love would be given unconditionally. See, I like to do things where I think I'm doing a good job, and you know, I want to kind of keep score. You know, I'm doing this, and I think I'm done. I'm doing a little better over here, and I want to keep. And God doesn't work like that. God loves. God forgives. God cares. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to do enough good things. Your theology is never going to be perfect enough. General MacArthur, when he was in school, he took a class, and in this class we're talking about Einstein's theory of relativity. So he read it, and he didn't understand it. He said, but you know, I better learn this thing. So what he did is he kind of memorized the pages, and lo and behold, as he got in class, his instructor asked him, MacArthur, what do you know about the theory of relativity? And he just rattled it right off, the pages that he had memorized. But then the old professor asked him a question. He said, but do you understand what you've just said? He said, in that classroom, you could hear a pin drop. And he said, no, sir. And the professor said, well, neither do I. Class dismissed. You're not here because of your theology. You're here because the only way to have that guaranteed eternal life is your relationship with Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. It's about faith. It's about believing things that you don't quite understand. Everybody's been trying to explain to me the Trinity ever since I started going to church. And I still don't fully get it. But I know it's true. I know that it's true. And it's pretty difficult when you're a preacher there and you go and say, one of our little things we believe on the most is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can you explain it 100% fully? I said, nope. But I believe it. Because I live by faith. I live by believing in things that can't be seen, that can't be touched. But I live believing in that which I can feel, in that I know without a shadow of a doubt. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. I get excited around Christmas time because it's a time of new birth. It is a time of hope. It is a time when we come in and we celebrate and, oh, I tell you, everything just looks, it looks pretty. It's pretty. But I tell you what, folks, it's a time to be thankful for what God has done for us. To look out those individuals that, hey, they're going to struggle. And you might be one of the individuals that I'm talking about. I might be one of those individuals. That during this time of celebration and singing and joyous and gaiety, still there will be individuals that feel like they got a hole in their heart. Sometimes God has appointed for you to be the one to try to fill that hole. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You can do anything that God lays upon your heart to do, and do it for Him. Amen? Amen. Just a moment, we're going to serve communion, and I think it's a beautiful way to begin this Christmas season. It's a way for each one of us to take this small wafer representing a body which is broken, this small cup of juice representing the blood was shed, and to begin Christmas by saying, thank you for what you did for me. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house, and Heavenly Father, we've heard so many prayer requests today that just simply touched our hearts. We've heard the choir sing, and what a wonderful job they did, Heavenly Father. We know that the smiles and the joy that we feel at this time of year just lifts us up. But Heavenly Father, we also know that this time of year can be full of sadness, sorrow, and people who just simply miss others. So we ask at this time, Heavenly Father, that you'll just love us the way you do. Although we don't understand it fully, we know that you do. We thank you for sending your Son to die upon that cross. We thank you as we ask you now to bless this wafer representing the body, the cup of juice representing the blood. That you allow each one of us in our own way to simply say thank you and allow us to do this in memory of you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen, amen. We're going to ask that you just stay ever so quiet and respectful.